The question they asked is, what is faith? I think Denzel Washington in this movie, The Book of Eli, he does a really good job of trying to explain what faith is. He tries to define faith. He says it means you know something, even if you don't know something. So from that explanation, I can conclude that it's nearly impossible to describe what faith is. But even that being said, I think we all know what faith is. We all know what it is. We might not use Johnny Cash to explain it, but we know what it is. I also think that we all have faith. We all believe in something. We believe in God. We know God's going to be there for us when things are going wrong. We're having just a bad day. But I think the hardest part about faith is keeping that faith strong through that adversity and through those hard times. Our faith can, you know, we can have doubt creep in. It can start to crumble a little bit. So that's what I want to talk about today, is I want to talk about how we can keep our faith strong through our times of need, through adversity in life. So I want to start this off by telling y'all a story about these three men. What story could it be? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I'm going to be reading out of the book of Daniel, chapter 3. So feel free to follow along. I'm going to open it up myself. And let me kind of open up this story and kind of set the scene for you a little bit. You need to know about this guy first. His name is King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of it's called the Chaldean Empire or the Neo-Babylonian. I looked it up. It's a long time ago. Just a long time ago. really was. But King Nebuchadnezzar, at this time, he was worshiping some gods that was not the, you know, Christian God, the one Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego followed, the one we follow. And just in verse 1, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar, he made an image of gold 90 feet high and 90 feet wide. It's a little flashy for my taste, but if that's what he wants to do, he can worship his God, I guess, however he wanted to. But he decided to take it a step further, and he wants to impose this God on his entire kingdom. So in verse 4, the herald here proclaims for King Nebuchadnezzar, it says, "This is what you are commanded to do, O people, nation, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you are to immediately fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Now that right there might be enough to make, you know, most people bow down. Even if they didn't want to, this risk of, you know, being thrown into a furnace, this risk of death might be enough. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they decided to hear this and they said, Nah, we've got a God. We're good. Our God is so awesome and so powerful that we don't need to worry about it. This is, you know, an impressive statue and stuff, but we don't need to bow down to it. Well, this happens, and some of the people in the council of King Nebuchadnezzar see these three men not bowing down, and they take it to King Nebuchadnezzar. They say, I'm going to read it word for word in verse 12. It says, "There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Like most stories that I've read, there's always someone tattling on someone. And this happens, and King Nebuchadnezzar hears it, and he becomes just angry. He cannot believe that someone would, you know, defy this law, even risking death for it. So he goes, you know what? I need to hear it for myself. I want an explanation for why they're not following what I've told them to do. So he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up, brings them to, you know, his court, and he just is straight with them. He's like, I want to know why you won't follow these laws. Why won't you do this for me? This is my favorite part, and it's our scripture. I'm going to read it again. They give him a response. They tell him, you know, to his face what they're thinking. They reply to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship this image of gold you have set up. You think King Nebuchadnezzar was mad when he heard about it? When they told him to his face, he became enraged. And let me tell you how enraged he was. I'm here in the middle of verse 19. It says, he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. And it continues in verse 22. It says, the king's commandment was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, they fell into the blazing fire. At this point, if I was one of those 3 men, I'd either be passed out, I was so scared, I'd just be like, no, not happening. Or I might be screaming really loud, freaking out. I think most of us would. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cool, calm, and collected. They didn't doubt 1 second that they were going to be okay. They knew God was going to save them. So they're in the furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar, I like to think he's got like this big smile. You know, he's thinking he's won. He's got it all done. And he actually looks into the furnace to see what's going on. And he sees not only 3 men in the fire, but he sees 4 walking around in this furnace. And I'll read it for you real quick. It says in verse 25, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar, he then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the God Most High, come out here now. It was because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, you know, undenying faith that got them through this situation. It didn't matter what happened to them. Didn't matter what was going on. They knew they were going to be okay. They knew God was looking out for them. So for us, in today, I think we try to act like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that's easier said than done. We are human. Doubt is a part of our nature. It just happens. But the cool thing is we all have different problems, right? We all have different things going on in our lives. We're all unique. Faith is the strongest tool that we can use for any situation that could ever come across. Faith is what will get us through anything. I can't even say anything else but anything. So let me give you an example from my life. Just my life. But remember, there are so many different things that go on in people's lives. Let me just show you how faith can help one of those. So, several years ago, I guess found out or realized or just kind of ended up coming to be that I had been dealing with depression. Okay? So, it made sense. I would go, you know, weeks at a time, not really knowing why I was feeling this way, not knowing what was going on, and I just didn't really understand it. So, it was good to know, like, I knew what was going on at least. But once I found this out, I got angry. I got mad at God. I got mad at the world. I didn't know why this was happening to me, you know, why things had to go wrong. So it got to the point where I just said, you know what? All right. I gave it up to God. I said, God, I get it, okay? This is how I am. That's cool. But you got to give me something. You got to help me. I'm losing it over here. I really feel like I haven't heard from you in a while, you know. Hit me up on the phone, please. But the funny part is, you know, God's sneaky. That's the only way to put it. God is sneaky. He is maybe like a ninja master. Maybe. He just likes to get in there where you don't see him coming, but he's there. So let me tell you how he, you know, sneaked back into my life. I was angry. I was mad. I didn't have a lot of faith at this point. While this was going on, I found out that my grandfather actually dealt with these same problems. He ended up taking his own life because of it. So I started, for some reason, having that just kind of keep coming up and reoccurring in me. It just kept eating me up inside. I wanted to know why. So I started talking to my mother, and my mom decided to come up to me, and she handed me a letter. And I opened this letter, and it was from my grandfather. Before he had died, he had written me a letter. And it was one of those letters, I mean, I don't have it to read or anything, but it was one of those letters that once I read it, I just knew it was going to be okay. I knew things were going to be all right. Things were going to start to get better. And they did. all of that anger, all of that pain, it just melted away. I started to think that, you know, my grandfather, he was this guardian angel of mine. He was just, you know, imagery right here. He's like sitting on a cloud with his legs dangling down, and he's just watching me. And he's like looking out for me, and he gets to report to God and say, like, hey, my grandson over here, I mean, hasn't heard from me in a while, but God already knows. But he gives us angels anyways to watch out for us in the same sense. So he restored my faith through my grandfather. And now I always have him with me. So to, I guess, start this little bit, I just want to say, young people or old people alike, listen to your mother. If she says no, don't ever do this. I got a tattoo. Yep. I have my grandfather's name tattooed on my ribcage. Let me tell you why I did this. Don't freak out on me. It's okay. I got his name there because every time now that I'm feeling down or I'm sad, all I have to do is reach over and grab him. And I know he's watching out for me. I know he's making sure God's watching out for me. And he's going to be there. Again, all of that pain, all of that anger just melts away, and I can keep going. So this is a good example, I guess, of my life. And it's one of those examples that, you know, we all have different things that go on in our lives. Well, faith, again, is the strongest tool that we can use. So like I said before, it means you know something, even if you don't know something. So I want to encourage y'all to look for God. I guarantee you, God's there, and he's shouting at y'all right now. He might be sneaking his way through, but he wants to make sure that he's there for you. So like I said, we all know what faith is. And again, it's hard to explain sometimes, but it's such a cool and powerful tool. We also know that we all have faith. We know that God's there for us. Even if we get angry at him, he still is there for us. Even if we get thrown into, you know, a fire or the fires of the world, he's there for us. The hardest part is still keeping our faith strong through those times. Just look out for God. He's talking to you, and he wants to make sure that he can help you through those times. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving us the chance to talk about how faith is so strong in our lives and how faith can get us through, you know, any situation that comes in front of us, and how you're always there with us. Please be with us as we go about our lives, Lord. Be with us and help us to keep our faith strong through adversity. Amen.